Hello, my name is Gail P, and I'm a compulsive overeater, 100 pounder. Okay, so I came into OA. I came into OA February 20th, 1989. My top weight is 280 pounds. I weigh 140 now. I'm 5'6", so I'm a normal size. I've been abstinent in on February 21st. It'll be 37 years of abstinence. So I have a picture, actually. I'm in my office right now. Let me go get a picture. Hang on one second. Here's a picture of me at my top weight. I don't know if you can see it. That's me. That's a size 28 dress. And I came into OA when I was 37 years of age, and I had no idea that I had a problem. I didn't know. I knew I was the biggest person in the room, but in any room, but I didn't think, I just, that was normal to me. And I couldn't stop eating, and that was normal to me. So I had no idea I was having a problem, except I met my Eskimo in December of 1988 at a party. And I knew him in high school. I weighed 240 in high school, and he weighed, I think, 325 in high school. And he was thin. And I asked him, because we were at a party, I said, "Why aren't you eating?" Because I was shoveling food and I was sitting at the coffee table and shoveling food like there was no tomorrow. I could do it in front of people as a party. So he said, he was drinking a cup of coffee at a styrofoam cup, and he said, "I don't eat in between meals." That was his answer to me. And I thought, I don't even know, that's language I would not even know. I don't eat in between meals. I never knew what a meal was, much less, I had no idea what he was talking about, but it intrigued me. And we were at a party where everybody was 12 steps, but they were NA, not Narcotics Anonymous. They were all sober from drugs. I never took a drug in my life, but I wanted to speak the language so I could understand what they were talking about, number one. And I wanted to also, I wanted to be part of a group. So I thought, okay, well, I know I'm the biggest person in the room. I'll go to Overeaters Anonymous, like Jack Saul is my Eskimo. And so I thought, I asked him for how do I go to this Overeaters Anonymous place? And he mailed me. We didn't have email back then, so he mailed me a meeting list. And I got it, and I went to my first meeting probably almost 2 months after I got my first, I got the meeting list. And you guys were all talking language I did not understand. It was a step study, and I did not know what a step was. I did not have a clue what a step was. And I just, it was a writing meeting, so I just sat and cried and wrote, cried and wrote. And two lovely ladies took me under their wing, and they took me to my next meeting. That next morning, it was a Monday that I went in, and it was a Tuesday morning that I found a sponsor, and I got abstinent, and I've been abstinent ever since. And I want to talk about, let me see, we're done with my how it was, 5 minutes of how it was. How it was a nightmare, and I didn't know it when I was in it, but when I, now that I could look back and have a normal sized body for many years, and I'm kind of like, my brain still isn't normal. I don't crave food anymore, but my brain still doesn't work right because it doesn't think like normal people. It just doesn't. You know, I ate since overate since the time I could remember, and every bite that I took stunted my emotional growth. So it's taken all these years to catch up my emotional growth because I did not know it at the time, but I needed to numb out because I did not know how to handle situations. They all baff Everything baffled me. I had no idea. I was successful in my career, but other than that, not with relationships, not with anything. No, nothing. So it was just a nightmare. You can see the picture. I was probably, I'm 35 years old in this picture. And I weighed 280 pounds, and I wore a size 28 dress. I had a shop at Forgotten Woman, which was in Beverly Hills on Wilshire. They didn't, I don't even know if they had Lane Bryant back then. They may have. I don't even know. But I shopped at Forgotten Woman, and I would buy just like a, it would, I was wearing tents just pretty much because I had to cover my body. And I thought I would be like that the rest of my life until I came upon Jack and he told me about OA. So I want to talk about my program more than anything else right now. So you all get the hint that it was a miserable first 37 years of my life. I did not know I was miserable. I'll give a couple examples before I go on to what I do for my program. But I lived in a condo when I was first abstinent. I mean, before I was abstinent. And I would buzz somebody in, and they would have to walk a hallway to get to my condo. And I'd have to down a box of cereal in order to have get up the nerve to answer the door. That was my life. I needed nerve to do everything, and I didn't show up for a lot of people because I didn't have the nerve to do it. And I felt like, who's going to miss me anyway? That's how I felt about myself. So I missed a lot of things, and when I got to step nine, I had a lot of amends to make. And they're all made and they're all done. That was a long time ago. But okay, so I came into OA. I got a sponsor my second day, and she told me what to eat, and she told me to start working the steps. So we had only AA literature back then, and so I was told to write on every paragraph of the AA 12 and 12 and to write on it. So I started with a pen in my hand, a black pen in my hand. I had a red pen because the red pen was for crossing out alcohol and putting in food, and then crossing out glass in hand and putting plate in hand, that kind of thing. So that's what I had to do. That's what she had me do. And that's what I did. I have to tell you that I flunked tradition three. The only requirement is a desire to stop eating compulsively. I had no desire to stop eating compulsively. I came into OA because I wanted to have a community. That was the only reason I had it. Never expected to lose an ounce, never expected to want to stop binging. I didn't know that was binging, by the way. I had no idea I was binging. I would just ate a lot all the time. So anyway, God had for me ideas that I never thought of. I just look back and I think God's the only thing that could have kept me going and doing the work that my sponsor told me to do and lost all my weight and kept it off all these years. How's that possible when I didn't want to? And I didn't want to stop eating compulsively. So God had other ideas. So I was doing my work. I would write on every paragraph and I would read it to my sponsor. She told me what to eat, I think for breakfast. And then I was single back then, and I was told to go to fellowship a lot for meals so I could learn what does that look like? What does it look like to eat like somebody in recovery? So I would go with the girls. I lived in Studio City at the time, and I would go over the hill to West Hollywood, and I would have dinner with the girls, and I would go to meetings every day. Every morning I would go to a meeting, and almost every evening I would go to a meeting. I was single, I didn't have much of a social life, and I was able to do that. And I got to see, oh, Nina was eating this. Oh, that's what a portion. Oh, that's what that looks like. Oh, I didn't know really what a normal plate of food looks like. I never had one. I just didn't do that. So I learned a lot from the ladies that I had dinner with and breakfast with. I learned my first sponsor, she said, eat oatmeal every morning. She never told me the portions. So I would take a bowl, gigantic, around this big, you guys could see me, of like a big salad bowl for like a dozen people. And I would eat that as oatmeal. That would be my oatmeal. But I lost weight because I weighed so much that I lost weight on that. And I have to say that as I worked the steps and as I did the work, I went to meetings, I was of service, and I'm going to talk about that individually soon. Time's up. I think 20 minutes is up.
No, I believe that's 5 more minutes.
No way. Wow. Okay. So anyway,
Sorry, that's 10 more minutes.
10 more minutes?
Yes.
Oh, 10 more minutes. Okay. I don't know. I have to say that as I worked the steps and as I, let me put it, how do I put this? As I worked the steps And as I went to meetings and as God relieved for me the need to compulsively overeat slowly, it's happened. As I stopped eating foods that were my alcoholic foods, I was able to start losing the weight. And I was able to, every 20 pounds or so, stop losing for just a little bit so that I could acclimate to this new body. Because every 20 pounds or so, I got scared to death. It was so scary being vulnerable every 20 pounds or so that I didn't know what to do with myself except for working the program and talking about it. And I'm not even sure if I talked about it too much, but I did not compulsively overeat. I just kept staying on my program. I was told by my sponsor that I was to take a service position. I think I may have been abstinent not even a year. And she nominated me at Serenity Sunday, which was in it was in West Hollywood at the time. She nominated me to take out the trash. I felt so little about myself that I didn't feel worthy of taking out the trash. But because God led me to just trust her enough to do what she said, I started taking out the trash. And then I started doing other things like making coffee. I make the worst coffee, by the way, but I would make coffee. And I was reading literature. I was going to meetings. I had a sponsor. I didn't sponsor yet, but I was able to have a community that I've always wanted. Being a 100-pounder, I don't meet that many people that are that. So it was really nice to meet others. And we kind of like held each other's hands and went through this together. I feel like I'm one of the lucky ones that actually was really successful in keeping it off all these years. I don't know how many people, I don't know that many people. I know a few, my sponsors lost all the weight and kept it off, and there's quite a few other people. But I see a lot of people that I see in meetings that I knew 30 years ago that are still the same size. So their path is different than mine. Right, I'll just talk about what I do for my program now. I must have like around 6 minutes left, right? Okay. So I am sponsored. I'm sponsored by a 100-pounder, and it really works for me because I find that it's a whole new level when one is a 100-pounder. I just find that to be, and when I would have sponsors that do not have the 100 pounds to lose, it wasn't very helpful because they don't need to do the work I needed to do. And that's what I just found. They didn't, I have to write. Okay, so what I do every day, I'm just going to tell you, I get up in the morning. Maxine was my sponsor for many, many, many years. And she was also my friend from the beginning. Maxine had more abstinence than anybody in the world. She started away with Roseanne. Roseanne did not die abstinent, but Maxine did. So she was my sponsor for a long time. And if she told me what she did, I did it. So she weighed herself every day. So I weigh myself every day. And it doesn't, whatever people do is fine. Just be consistent. That's all I think that people should do. And so I get up in the morning and I weigh myself. I write it down. And then I text my sponsor my breakfast. There is nothing that goes in my mouth until my sponsor knows about it. I do not eat or drink anything until Colleen, her is her name, Colleen knows about it. Nothing goes in my mouth before Colleen knows about it. And the reason being is that one tiny 1 minute pause has saved my butt. It just as a pause. So therefore, pause when agitated or doubtful. Well, I pause because I just 5 more minutes. Okay, thank you. Okay, so anyway, so my breakfast, I text to her, and then I have breakfast with my husband. Then I come in here. This is my office. I am retired, but I have an office because I do a lot of charity work in here. And I'll show you. I have my book. This is my food book. It says food. And I write down my weight. I write down what I ate yesterday, and it better match what I've told Colleen the day before that day. It does match because if I change my food, I text her and let her know. I write down what I had yesterday, what I'm going to eat today. I plan ahead, and I write a 10th step every day, which is quite lengthy because I have a lot of chatter to do. I have a lot going on in my life. I have a really big life now, and I write a lot about it. And then I write 12 step work. So I just finished maybe a year ago writing on every paragraph of the big book. And it took me around 5 years, and I just would write it every day, one paragraph, one paragraph. Sometimes it would take me 5 days to write one paragraph because it was all the sentences were really juicy. And now I'm in another book, and it's not it's spiritual and it's 12 steps, but it's not literature approved, so I can't say what I'm doing. But I'm writing on this book, and I started a year ago, November, and I'm on step 9 now. So it'll take me another few months. It'll probably take me 2 years to go through this book. It's very spiritual. It's very, anyways, it's not very thick. So, but it's taking me almost 2 years to go through it. And then I write my gratitude list. I'm very organized. I was an accountant, a business manager my whole career. So I write down my to-do list for the next month. So I just see what I'm doing, not too much, not too little. You know, as an addict, I could go overboard. And I want to make sure that my self-care is really important. It's very important to me. So I want to make sure that it looks balanced to me about my activities. And what else do I write? So that's it, a gratitude list. Yeah. So it's a quite a few pages of work I do every morning. And then I get to go and have my day. And so my day looks like, you know, I have a, it's only, tw oh my God, we're almost done. So I have an action plan. That's my action plan. And then I go to the gym like 4 times a week, and I'm retired. So I do charity work, and I have a family. I have 3 stepkids, 5 grandkids, a great grandkid. I'm 74. I'll be 74 next Monday. So I've lived half my life in recovery because I have 37 years in a couple weeks, and I'll be 74 in a couple weeks. So I'll be half of my life in recovery, and I'm half my size I was before. I'm 140, was 280. So half measures would have availed me nothing. I didn't do half measures. And what I get to do is I get to live my life without the obsession of food, and I get to process all of my life without having to overeat or anything else. I could actually process my issues that I have in life without having to cause trouble, have to make amends, all that stuff. Because I take my time, and this has taken me years to not be impulsive and just not be an addict, no, not act like an addict, and just take my time and just do my writing. And I sponsor 2 women, both 100 pounders. One has started off at 425 and she's down to 245. And another one started off around, I don't even know how, I don't remember how much, but anyway, she's down under 200 pounds now. So I sponsor 2 women, and I go to meetings, and I take outreach calls, and I still have a really big life. You know, this is part of my life, and I believe that my 12-step program is a bridge to life. It's not my life. So, you know, I'm a happy person. I'm content, and I'm busy. And it's amazing. I have a marriage, by the way. I've been married with my husband for 28 years. I was 9 years abstinent when I met him. And that seems to be working out pretty well. We're almost together 30 years. So anyway, so life is good, but this is so much easier than being in the food. It is so much easier. This work is so much easier than having to hurt myself with food. It's just so much easier, I have to say. Anyway, so I see that I'm finished. Well, thank you very much, and thank you, Olivia, for asking me to speak. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Let's please give our speaker, Gail, a big round of applause for their wonderful share. Now is the time to ask our speaker questions. As we're still recording, we ask that you put your questions in the chat, either in the general chat or directly to me, and I will read them aloud. You're welcome to message them to me directly or to the group. We ask that you do not come off mute to ask your question or to thank the speaker verbally in this section, as we don't have permission to record other attendees. We'll allow up to 15 minutes for questions for our speaker, after which time we will have sharing until 15 minutes after the hour, and then in our parking lot. So I do have a few questions that came in. First question that came in is, what is your morning and evening routine with program?
My morning routine is what I said. I get up in the morning, I weigh myself, I have breakfast with my husband, and then I write and I write. By the way, I write down what my abstinence is also every morning. I recommitted to it every day. So I write down my abstinence, my weight, what I ate yesterday, what I eat today, what I will eat during the day. I do a 10th step, I do my step work, I do a gratitude list, and I do a to-do list. During the day, I take outreach calls. I make outreach calls. I have girlfriends that are in OA. I have guy friends too that are in OA. We might go to lunch, whatever. We talk to each other, and I talk to my sponsor, and I take my sponsor's calls. That's what I do every day. And then I'm free not to overeat the rest of my life.
And
Thank you for asking.
thank you and for the answer. And how do you connect with your higher power?
I think it's easiest for us because we have to eat a few times a day. So therefore, I'm always reminded that the God is great and God is everything. How I connect is there's never a time when I don't connect. I feel like I meditate a lot. I am a practitioner with my spiritual center. I have a degree. It's a degree in spiritual. I guess I'm a spiritual counselor. So I have a degree in that. I meditate. Because I have to eat for 3 times a day and I eat one snack usually, I'm connecting with God every few hours because God's the only one that can make me eat the way I'm eating now. And I love everything I'm eating, but I'm telling you, this has to be a higher power doing for me what I could not do for myself. So everything in my life is like given to me by God. It's a gift, everything. I have a great life and I've worked hard for it, but that's how I connect with God. It's like this cup of coffee, decaf, is God-given. It's just everything. Can I just say one thing about what one of my sponsors told me to do was, in the beginning, she said, you're single, you get to go out and have a meal with God once a week. Nobody else is allowed at the table except you and God. And what I would do is I would write to God, and then I would just sit there and listen for God's answers. And that helped me build a relationship with God that was still very powerful. And I do that to this day. I'll go out for somewhere and I'll just, God and I could be out. We have a pool right back there in my house, and I'll go out there and I'll just like commune with God. And I do that often. And that helps me. It helps ground me because I don't like what's going on in the world right now, to be honest with you. And I need to stay grounded. I need to stay grounded, and this is what I do. So that's how I stay connected to God. I could look in the mirror. I look fabulous. If at 74, I'm in the best shape of my life. And that's God. That's not me. I didn't do this. That's what I believe. I see it. I see it. So God's all around me, just giving me blessings. And if I was eating, God could have given me blessings, and I would have never known.
Thank you. How long have you been in OA, and how long did it take you to get abstinent?
It took me overnight. I came into OA February 20th, 1989. My abstinence date started February 21st, 1989. I went to my first meeting on a Monday, and Tuesday morning, two ladies took me to the second meeting, and I got a sponsor. She told me what to eat for breakfast, and I started my abstinence there. By the way, it is totally not what is my abstinence now. My first abstinence in the beginning was just don't compulsively overeat. Don't overeat. Just eat meals. And then I added foods to it. And as I lost weight, foods changed. And went through menopause, foods changed, body changed. Went in my 60s, I lost my metabolism. It died. So I had to change things again. And I'll be 74, so the metabolism isn't great. Even though I go to the gym a lot, but I don't gain weight. I stay the same all the time. So that's my abstinence. So I have February 21st, I will have 37 years. I say I know I will have 37 years because I have made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And God wants me abstinent so I could be of service to people.
Thank you. And there's also a question of have you ever relapsed?
No, I've never relapsed. No. I've been so lucky to have sponsors that I trust and that have guided me. I have only had a few sponsors in all these 37 years. Maxine was not a 100-pounder, but everybody else, well, my first sponsor was not a 100-pounder. But no, I've never relapsed. I respect my disease. My disease is strong. It would kill me if I relapsed. I probably would never be able to get back from it. And I don't have a desire. It's been years since I would have a desire to eat anything that's not on my food plan. Because what happens is as soon as I gave things up, it might take 10 days or so to get it out of my system. But after that, I never craved it again. To be honest with you, I don't crave anything at all. So, but it takes work. It takes work. I have to do this work, and then I don't crave things. And I don't pick up my alcoholic foods. I'm very totally specific on what my alcoholic foods are. And I would never touch them even now after all these years, even though who knows what would happen. I would never take that chance. So I don't.
Thank you.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, of course.
Okay. I just want to say that, in the beginning, I made an amends to my body and I apologized and I told it that I would never hurt it again. And I meant it. I was deeply sorry what I did to my body. And so this is my living amends is that I don't treat myself like a garbage disposal anymore, like I did before. I don't. I just don't do it. So I made the decision and I just don't do it. So that's me anyway.
And did you have any body image issues?
Absolutely. I would be at the gym trying hitting my stomach because I hated myself so much in the beginning. I did that before even recovery. I hated everything about myself. I don't have that anymore. But it takes work. It takes work to go to the gym. It's easier sleeping in. I would love to, sleep in, but I don't. I go to the gym. My husband is not he's a normal eater and he's 79 and he mountain bikes and golfs almost every day. And if he's not doing those two things, he's hiking. So I just follow what he does. I don't mountain bike, but I go to the gym. I like to be indoors and it's so much easier than being in the food and being overweight. It's just this is my life is so much easier doing this way than the other way. But I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision that I wasn't going to hurt myself anymore.
And a similar question that came in, as a 100-pounder, how have you navigated body image and coming into your body as it's changed so drastically?
In the beginning, I was very uncomfortable losing the weight, very uncomfortable. And what I would do is, as I told you before, I stopped every 20 pounds just to get acclimated at that weight, then start losing again. I think that when I started really loving my body was when I started exercising re regularly, because it really made a difference in what I look like. Remember that, 100-pounder, I could have skin hanging, all that stuff, but I work out, so I don't have that. And I did get a tummy tuck because my skin was coming out of my underwear on the bottom because I couldn't work out enough to stop that. So I was able to get a tummy tuck. But after that, it's not hard exercise. I go to Equinox in Studio City and everybody's really nice there. And I work out with young guys. It's fun and they're nice to me and all that. And it's just. And I always tell my sponsors, just put some tennis shoes on and walk out your door and start walking. That's all you have to do to start. And get a buddy if you don't want to do it yourself. But exercises, I make my body the way I want it to look. So that's what I do. Same thing. And I'm not an exception. I'm not an exception. Anybody could do this. So I just, so my body image, I like how I look now. Go figure. I have to be 74 when I liked doing that now. That's kind of a regret. I wish I could have liked myself earlier in my life, but Better late than never.
Thank you. Do you weigh and measure your food and commit that to your sponsor?
Yes. I don't weigh my vegetables. I always say, if you make me weigh my vet or measure my vegetables, shoot me. I don't want to do that. I measure. I can even tell you what I eat. I don't care, but I measure. I measure my breakfast. I measure the proteins. I am 98% vegan, and I measure my protein. I measure my fruit, but I don't measure my vegetables. I refuse. I just refuse to do that. So yes, and it's not that hard. You know, in a restaurant, I don't do that. But how often in a restaurant are they going to have tofu anyway? I usually bring my own protein with me, and I just eat their vegetables. So yeah, that's what I do. Yeah.
And then, do you have a food sponsor? Maybe that's different than your other
I do
sponsor.
not. I do not. I've gone to nutritionists, dietitians that have helped me, but I've never had a food sponsor. My first sponsor was a 5-pounder, and she taught me what to eat and other people, but I've never had a food sponsor, nor have I ever sponsored anybody with just food. I think it's important to work the steps. I just think that's important.
And you touched on this a little bit before, but how has your abstinence changed over the years and what drove those changes?
It's changed as I needed to lose more weight. I had to change up things because there were things that weren't working for me. Remember, I came in at age 37. So by menopause, there were things I just couldn't eat anymore and be normal size. So I started putting food on my abstinence. I think I'm thinking maybe I was around 12 years abstinent when I started putting foods on my abstinence. And I just found it was not a big deal to do that. So I started putting foods. So I abstained from flour, candy, nuts, other things too, but I don't, they're so much not on my brain. So flour, candy, nuts, and chips. I abstained from those. So, and I eat everything else vegan pretty much. And I weigh and measure stuff. And my weight doesn't change very much. So when I was 50, I went through menopause, started going through menopause, and I had to adjust the portions, and I stopped eating a lot of starch. That was one thing. I could not eat starch very much anymore. And then at 60, same thing, readjusting more vegetables, less of everything else. And now 74, I work out. So it looks like a normal. Anybody could call me. My phone number's there. Call me and I'll tell you what I eat. You don't want me to talk about food now. So, but yeah. So I've had to adjust it as my body's change as I change. And 60 was the worst because that's when my metabolism really slowed down. So I had to really redo more vegetables, less everything else, and that works.
Thank you. What has your experience sponsoring other women been like?
Terrible. Now it's really good, by the way. In the beginning, it was not good because people don't want to do this work. So many people, I'm sorry to say, they want to have it, what I have, but they don't want to do the work I do. So the people I work with now, they're actually doing the work and they're getting the results. But I'm telling you, I said in the beginning, is I see people that I saw 30 years ago and they're still the same size as they were and they were not happy with it. But if they want to do the work, they can work with me. But if they don't want to do the work, I love them and I'll have lunch with you and I'll be your friend, but I won't sponsor somebody who doesn't want to do the work. And it requires work. It requires that. So it's been very frustrating because I was taught by one of my sponsors years ago. She said, never want for them more than they want it for themselves, which means I can't do people's work for them. They have to do it themselves and they have to want it and it more than they want the food. And that sometimes it takes just trusting other people that have gone before them because they want food strong. So it's not been fun watching people relapse or just stop calling and then they hide from me, that kind of thing. That's happened over the years. So.
Yeah. Thank you. And last question in here. Do you use any supplements like multivitamin, protein, creatine, etc.?
I use stuff that my doctor said, like calcium and D3. Everything my doctor tells me to do, I do. So I don't use, you mean creatine is something you add to, no, I don't use that stuff, no. No.
Well, thank you so much. That is perfect timing on questions. Thank you so much for your sharing, for answering all those questions.
My pleasure.